So, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And two of you I already saw in the last session, down in the lower floor, and therefore perhaps it will become quite interesting, because you already mentioned that you have other ideas about spirituality, like I will show now in here. To my background, I'm psychiatrist and psychotherapist and anthropologist, and I've done one of my PhDs in religious science. Okay. What I want to talk about is about this item religiosity, religiousness and spirituality. What does they mean? And I don't want to show you a new definition, because this is something which is really in a flux. This really, we are discussing this since several years, but what we see is that we have to discuss it, because it's not national what spirituality is. Different people have totally different ideas, and I come from the cognitive religious science perspective. That means what is very dangerous. I'm looking what is going on in a brain, and what is going on when children develop. And I wanted to show that spirituality, religiosity, are entities which you can differentiate according that if they maybe are inborn or maybe they are acquired by our socialization. If you have questions, you can, if you want, you can interrupt, otherwise I will go through and then we have the discussion. I thought I have only 10 to 12 minutes, therefore I will not have a lot of slides. Cognition, affection, behavior. These are three main points of the functioning of our brain, and that what comes out is that what we are doing. Cognition is something what means what we take up with our senses, that means hearing, seeing, and so on, and what we realize from that, what we take up, because we have a lot of input into the brain and a lot is not really conscious. And we can only talk about, not in psychoanalysis, but here, we can only talk about that, what is really conscious. We have a lot of inputs which have an influence on how the brain is working and how the brain is processing ideas coming from outside. These are genetic factors. What I mean, if you have some specific genes, which perhaps, it's at the moment there's research on, which perhaps can make you less empathic to people, like people who suffer with autism, then the genetic factors can change your recognizing the world and perhaps even your own realizing what you are and what you think and what things makes to you. Then we have the social environment, for sure. The social environment starts not when you are delivered, when you are born. It starts with a very directly after after some days, there are the first nerval cells in the embryo. Then the social environment has an impact on you. And the epigenetic factors, this is a new fashion word actually, but if one brings to a point, epigenetic factors are factors which are able to switch on or switch off some genes, which are then can produce some proteins and so on. That can change your behavior too. For example, when some neurotransmitters are not produced as much or in sufficiently as you need. We normally divide, even if it's artificial, we normally divide the influence on a human brain in two main factors. This is the phylogenetic development, as a natural history, that we have some genetic material which really goes very, very back to our the history of beings at all, like to digest, for example, alcohol. This is in animals, and we have some genetic development which is more individual. We are not at the birth finished with our genetic development, and when we divide religiosity, spirituality, then one can say that religiosity and spirituality, this is something what we can discuss, what was discussed on other places earlier, that religiosity and spirituality may be something which perhaps is phylogenetic. And the individual religiousness, that means the religiosity which is individual, we call it religiousness, something what is really developing in each people. And perhaps the same can happen with the spirituality, the individual spirituality, what means the spiritualness. Dimension of religion, okay, we can say, we can show you several slides on this. We have this feeling, knowing, acting, which goes back like William James and so further. Then we have the individual and the communicative dimension of religion. Individual, that what you are doing with your religion, what you are experiencing, and you call it religious, that what is religion in between people. And this communicative can be communicative not only in between people, but between you and some kind of higher beings. And the social religion, what is really the main point of, we have heard that religion has something to do with our social community. There is no individual religion. And the spiritual can be a part of religion. I say at that moment it can be a part. Perhaps spirituality can be a part of religion, vice versa. Being religious or spiritual, general, means to recognize, to feel, to think, and to believe in something what is greater and more long-lasting as the individual, and to act accordingly. The love is often forgotten that it's acting too. When we are in a hospital and I ask the patients, are you religious? And I said, oh yes, I'm very religious. And then we ask what you are doing. Perhaps they say they go to church. Perhaps they say, okay, I'm praying. Then they do act. The next step would be, do they act and has this a consequence for them? Because that is normally not asked. That means people can be religious, but it's only an impression that they are religious and they show that they are religious, like this kind of extrinsic religiosity, but it has no input for, it has no impact for them at all. This I put not in this list because some people even have it not. So the definition on religious religiosity at the moment are the connected, we have heard it in this last seminar, connect to a religious or confessional community. It's institutionalized. Normally, this religion and shown through the religiosity has well-defined rites and explicit and clear-defined judging ethical positions. Often, they have shared unequivocal, that means clear-cut doctrines or dogmata, and for sure a belief in something what is greater than human existence. Because if you go only to this point, it can be, yeah, everything. Yes?
This is for me a religion. So what would be the... why is this religiosity for you?
It is...
What is the difference to religion? This is for me a religion. And so please tell
okay, me... Okay, I could say it's religious... religiosity, religion. Yeah, the religiosity,
okay.
For example, means that you follow well-defined rites. This is your kind of extrinsic religiosity. No?
So the capacity to be open to something like religion would be religiosity for me.
This is, I come to this later. At the moment, it's only on a phenotypic level.
No, okay, I understand the
It's a rather classical way, isn't it, to make a difference between spirituality and religiosity, because one of the items is the connectedness with tradition and institutions.
Exactly.
That's why, I think.
That's only to make that difference at the moment. So, what is spiritual? I don't know. It's difficult to define what we already have had. If we go down to the senses, what I mention here are only these senses, which we call the conscious senses. This viewing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and touching, or being touched. So these primary senses, and they processed in the brain, and then they become conscious. There are a lot of senses. We never have had a conscious idea what happens. Let's say the pH value of your spinal fluid. Nevertheless, we have a sense for this. Okay. This is not spiritual. Spiritual means definitely more. Therefore, this primary senses you have in animals. Spiritual has to be more, otherwise we could see perhaps even animals are spiritual. That's what we think they do not have. I don't know if it's only when you say, okay, there must be something like a spirituality if you give some goods to the people when they die and to the grave. Happiness, sadness are complex perceptions, and they're difficult to describe. We know this because they are processed in other areas of the brain. They are, if you're talking about that, what you see, what you hear, you can well say it's this and this and this, but to describe a feeling, especially a spiritual feeling, you use words which often are not really very useful to describe this, that another can experience the same. Okay, spiritually, maybe another complex sense like happiness, sadness, and so. Perhaps you think that's ridiculous, but that was what in the 80s one tried to look after in the functional brain research. When we have done the CT scan, you see nothing, then you have done the MRT scan, and then you have done the functional MRT scan, you have the positron emissions tomography, and we wanted to see where is spirituality. I think it's a nice idea, but it's so complex, therefore there will be not only one spot. And all what we could see is, oh, if somebody says he's spiritual, then he has a lot of activity in a lot of areas in the brain, and that means therefore more or less nothing. Interesting, there are different activations of the brain. If you have a meditation, for example, on an object, or a meditation not on an object, the object you know. So, what is spirituality? It's not necessarily connected to a religious or a confessional community. Okay. It's not institutionalized, has not to be, is often not well defined, but has often not well defined, but individual reads, or perhaps no reads at all. It has no clear defined judging ethical positions, but general statements concerning nature, connected with a social interaction, to be good, and that's what we talk about, humanism. Is this the same like spirituality? I would say no, but it can be a part of it. There are no clear-cut doctrines and dogmata, and the same like in religion, belief in something what is greater than human existence, but that is not so well defined how it can be in religion. Therefore, we have several possibilities. Religious is not spiritual. Religious is more than spiritual. That means religiosity is the huge group in which a little bit spirituality may be, or it's vice versa, that the religion is a part of being religious, it's a part of a larger spirituality, or they're more or less the same. When we look to spirituality and we try to compare this with the spirituality of somebody else, then we could postulate, don't know if it is like this, because we haven't asked everybody, that all humans own a spiritual dimension. That is only a hypothesis. And in a group, I know the people, perhaps, I have some ideas of my spirituality which I can share with them. We can see this in special groups, in special sects, and they believe in special features of the nature, and they believe in special, very local gods and deities. Everyone's spirituality is like some other's person's spirituality. That means we share a little bit of the spirituality of somebody else. And then we have a core spirituality which is totally unique, which only we have. This was discussed later, and I know that some of you does not agree with this, that, but we can say that spirituality is a part of religiosity. Or that, let's make an example. In the part I'm coming from in southern Germany, it's totally normal that the kindergarten is a confessional kindergarten. And in this kindergarten, you will start the morning with a prayer, and you will go to church together, the kindergarten church, and yes, you get a kind of socialization, a religious socialization, and some of these people, normally more than 90%, they have this confession, they have the communion, then perhaps they do marry in the church, but some of them, probably all of them, they build up a special kind of spirituality, which is very personal, a very personal connections to a very personal idea of a God, which is not shared by the other. And the same can be on the other side. If somebody, after some years, says, okay, I don't want to be anymore in this institution church, and I want to be together with other people who are spiritual. I go to India, but I all the time have my brain with me, which was trained in the childhood with a special kind of religiosity. I will take it to every place. And it's very interesting if you have Alzheimer patients which lived abroad in a totally other social community, and you talk with them, and what then is the rest, what is the substance, they come back to this, origin, religiosity. if we divide religiosity in a kind of religiosity which is only, yeah, it's the ability to recognize, to feel, to think, to act religious, and the individual ability to do this, then you say, what is the sense? I think there is a sense, because some people perhaps can do this more and other less. And that's the point where I want to start. We have now four different meanings. There's the spirituality, the spiritualness, the religiosity, and the religiousness. It's good that you still sit here and you didn't leave the room. Because that's for a lot of people, it's difficult to accept this. And you should not accept, it's question, can we discuss this? If you look to evolutionary biology, a lot of genetic traits develop when they make sense. If they don't make sense, these people die out. And from an evolutionary point of view concerning religious science, religions normally are very useful for people, very useful for social groups. I don't want to dare to say that is the only reason religions are, but it's a very important point. If, for example, if you compare all the large religions, all are procreative, not for some special clergy, not for some monks and nuns, but for the general population, religion wants that the people procreate, that the people do not commit suicide, that there is no infanticide. They are pro-living. When you look through the literature about the development, the cognitive development of children, then you can see there are now some studies on the cognitive development of children concerning spirituality. And to make it very simple, everybody of you knows children who say, oh, that's my teddy, and this teddy has life. It's my teddy bear. And that the grandfather, he died, but he will still look down to earth and look what we are doing. Children have this idea that everything is connected, but they learn through education that they are separated from other people, for sure, but that other people perhaps think other things. A lot of studies that in the beginning, with the small children, 2-3 years old, they think that what they recognize is the same what everybody recognizes. Therefore, through learning, they become more and more self-conscious. If spirituality is something what means that you have the feeling you are connected with more than yourself, and if you see that people talking about spirituality often say, yes, I feel connected and there is no border between us, then one could say, perhaps this is a genetic trait. Perhaps people, humans, are able to experience spirituality. They are spiritual, and this may be inherent. That means you could say spirituality may be the inherent ability to believe in something greater than oneself, to believe in something transcendent. And for this, we do not need any society. It's only that I have the connection to more, be it nature, be it other beings, be it stones or something. Religiosity, the question is, do human beings inherent the ability to experience religiosity too? If we say religiosity is being connected, having the feeling there's something higher than me, plus all these institutionalized ideas and the reads, then we do not need it, because that's what we learn. Therefore, one could say, we can discuss this later, one could say humans are inherent spiritual, and as well they have the inherent ability to form groups, that is human, and interact with others. We have this social brain, we have this empathy, that is nothing more than the social brain, and human beings normally are socialized in religious communities. As far as we know, most of the communities have a kind of religious system, I say a kind of, even the animists. And therefore they develop an individual religiosity, and this is called religiousness, which adopts and shares ideas and cognitions of others, other members of the group.
It was a question?
Yeah. Ah, it was a question, okay. Yeah. Spiritualness, that is the individual, human beings acquire and develop through socialization an individual spirituality on the base of their inborn spirituality, which can but has not to be religious. Some people grow up, as we know, in the eastern part of Germany, to some part not religious. And they sometimes build up a kind of spiritualness, but they have not to be. They have not to build this up, but they can. And what we see, it's very interesting, some people from eastern Germany have had more or less no contact with religious institutions. Then they move, for example, to a Bavarian mountain village, and then they come in contact. And then they can develop something like we would say it's spiritualness, but it's a religiousness, because of their ability to recognize and to feel and to act religious or spiritual. You have to say spiritual. This individual acquired and developed spirituality, so-called spiritualness, because it's individual, can be a subset of their individual religiosity, of their religiousness. Can be. That's what I show with these circles. And when we go to religiousness, human beings acquire and develop through socialization an individual religiosity, the so-called religiousness, distinguished by the adoption of a belief, dogmata, and rules of a religious group. That means, okay, this is not only a spiritualness, but there are some items which we call its institution, what makes you then religious, what is your religiousness. This individual acquired and developed religiosity, that means religiousness, can, vice versa, a subset of the individual spirituality. Okay, I will make a point there. What I didn't mention, but perhaps first we have a discussion, what I didn't mention, what about an atheist spirituality? But I make the point here. Okay,